Jack Hogendyke. He is from the Center-Right Michigan organization. Jack, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. Doing well.
Well, what is Center-Right?
Well, something I started back in, I think, 2004. I used to be in the state legislature, and in my first term, we started, at that time, a weekly meeting right there in Lansing. We called it the Center-Right Coalition, and the point of the organization was we want to gather people together, policymakers, everyday citizens, and lawmakers, and talk about how can we reduce the role of government in people's everyday life. Our tagline is less government, low taxes, individual responsibility, and we believe in those constitutional principles that started with our Declaration of Independence that give us the right to life, liberty, and property. And so we would meet on a weekly basis. We're now meeting monthly in Lansing, and anybody who feels that, you know, government's a little too big and needs to be pared back is welcome to come and share ideas and hear lawmakers talk about the bills that they're working on in Lansing.
How many members are involved with Center Right?
Well, it's not a membership organization per se, Tony. Really, anybody who is interested in what we're doing is welcome to come and attend our meetings. We have a couple of ground rules. One is that we're not gathering to complain or to beat anybody up, but rather just to talk about what's going on, to express ideas. And we always let people know that anything that's said in our meeting is off the record. Occasionally, we'll get some press folks that will come, but only if they agree that, you know, what's being said in the meeting is off the record. Anybody that speaks is welcome to talk to the press afterwards, you know, and express their opinions. But we like to give people the freedom to know that they can, you know, talk about things without feeling like it's going to show up in the press 20 minutes later.
All right. How many people show up to these meetings, and why are the comments off the record? I know you don't want to feel the pressure, but you're at a public forum.
Right.
You want to create environments for change. Explain.
Well, we meet once a month, and we usually get between 50 and 70 people that come. We meet in a conference room, kind of an arrangement that's right next to the House office building there in downtown Lansing, across from the Capitol. And we just say that the comments in the meeting are off the record just so that people can have the freedom to express their opinions and to ask questions and not feel as if they're being, you know, watched or that what they're going to say is going to show up in the press. But as I say, any lawmaker who comes to speak about a bill, I mean, that bill is already out there in the press anyway. And anyone is free to speak to the press himself about his issue if he wants to. Outside of the meeting, it's never been an issue. In fact, we seldom get press, you know, in the meeting, so it's never really been a big issue.
Well, leave it to me to kind of put a monkey in the wrench, if you will. My apologies for that, but I find it interesting. I have spoken with some folks who have some fiscally conservative ideas, and they'd love to share those ideas, but they feel they'd be ridiculed if they went public. Is this sharing these ideas? Do you hope for any action to come out of it?
Oh, absolutely, and a lot of action has come out of it. We've had some very great discussions. For instance, Tony, let me give you some examples. The question about whether or not to build a bridge with you know, taxpayer dollars, the governor's plan, or should we build a second bridge, you know, with the owner of the ambassador. We've had a lot of discussion about the whole issue of right to work, freedom to work. We've talked about immigration issues. We've talked about public funding of education, higher ed or K-12. How is it funded? Is there a better way to do it? And quite frankly, most of what's said is not really an issue with regard to, you know, being off the record, because most of what's being talked about is out there in the public anyway. We just like to you know, give people the freedom to feel like they're, you know, as I said, you know, they're not going to say something that's going to show up in the press 5 minutes later.
Jack, what do you think about Governor Rick Snyder and his administration? If you had to grade them, how would you say they've done?
Oh, I guess I'd probably give maybe a B+. You know, they've certainly done some things to improve the way things are getting done in Michigan. They made a huge step, I think, with eliminating the Michigan business tax. That was something I opposed when I was in the legislature. And, you know, the replacement tax is better. I mean, I would have gone even further and you know, done something to reduce or eliminate some of the taxes that Michigan citizens pay. But he has greatly improved the environment for creation of jobs, because if you want jobs in Michigan, you got to do three things. It's labor policy, it's tax policy, and it's regulatory policy. And we've had a lot of discussions about that as well, you know, the Department of Environmental Quality and those kind of things. But I think he's making steps in the right direction, and Michigan is certainly beginning to see a little bit of a renaissance as a result of it.
What's your thought about the MEA being behind the push to get Representative Scott recalled?
Well, that's no surprise. The MEA is one of the most powerful unions in the state of Michigan, and I don't fault the rank and file, the members of the MEA, but the MEA leadership has a very strong agenda, and that is to get as much money into the education process as possible and to get as many members as they can, because the more members they have, the more dues they collect, and then they use those dues to advance their agenda. And here is a classic example. Their agenda is to pull the plug on Paul Scott, and they're spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it. And you know what? If they're successful, a lot of lawmakers are going to be reticent to vote for or introduce legislation that would in any way be seen as detrimental to the agenda of the Michigan Education Association. So, you know, it's no surprise as to what they're doing, how they're doing it, or why they're doing it. But unfortunately, I don't see the MEA doing anything to improve the quality of education for our children. But it's not on their agenda.
Why not?
Because I believe they have a fiduciary responsibility to get the best pay and benefits that they can for their members. And so you hear them talking all the time about, oh, we can't cut back on their insurance, we can't make them pay more co-pays, you know, we can't cut back their pay. And, of course, they want as many members as they can, so they're always talking about things like smaller classroom size, because that means more teachers. They're pushing very hard an agenda for early childhood education, you know, putting kids in school when they're 3 years old. Why? Because they need more teachers. And the more teachers, the more members. The more members, the more dues. The more dues, the more they can push their agenda.
So is what you're saying, what you believe, is that the MEA's focus is more on taking care of teachers and making sure they get all the benefits and pay that they can, mm-hmm. as opposed to really looking after the welfare of students, of kids?
Well, all you have to do, Tony, is look at their charter, look at their mission statement, look at their website, and I think you'll have to agree that their primary focus, and again, I don't fault them for this because, as I said, it's their fiduciary responsibility. They exist for the purpose of improving the quote-unquote working conditions, the pay, the salary, the benefits, the retirement of their members, and it would further make sense that the more members they have, the more powerful they can become. So they're going to push an agenda that would result in more, you know, more teachers, more employees, more janitors, more bus drivers, more food service workers, because then they have more members.
Well, we've got before we let you go, we've got an election coming up, and what are your thoughts? Anything we should be watching? Anything you'll be watching?
Well, you know, it's mostly just local stuff, village elections, and I certainly would encourage everybody that's listening to your show to be sure to go and vote tomorrow. Look at the issues. You know, you can find them easily nowadays. You know, if you can't get it in the paper, go to the website and pull up your local school board. It'll show you if there's anyone on the ballot for school board and if there's any millages on the ballot. But I would encourage people in Grand Blanc to vote no on the recall. Because, you know, Paul Scott, I think, is a good legislator. He's not perfect, but none of us are. But I don't think that recalling him is going to move the agenda forward for liberty and for good government in Michigan.
All right. We've been talking with Jack Hogendyke. He is with Center Right Michigan. Talk about, give us the time and date and information about your next meeting.
We usually meet on the third Thursday of the month. But because deer hunting season's next week, we're meeting this coming Thursday. 9 a.m. We always meet at 9 a.m. at 116 West Ottawa. It's called the Samuel Ingham Building. 9 o'clock Thursday morning. It's right next to, we always say it's right next to the House Bigby. And if anybody knows, you know, where the House Office Building is, it's right there. You walk right in. It's the room right inside the front door. And as I say, anybody who wants to hear about how we can reduce the role of government is welcome to attend.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Tony. Have a great day.